Welcome to the Blue and Orange Nation Talking Mets podcast. This is a special edition post Major League Baseball trade deadline wrap-up podcast, which in a lot of past years, you wouldn't think that the Mets would require a post Major League Baseball trade deadline wrap-up show. But this is a very different year for the Mets, and we'll be talking about it here now. This is Vinny with my co-host, Mike. How are you, Mike?
I'm going to give you the one-word answer with a clarification. So I think the proper one-word answer is exhausted.
Exhausted.
And the clarification is I'm not saying I'm unhappy, but wow, what a week.
This has been a crazy week. Starting from last Friday to today, this is Friday, July 31st, Major League Baseball trade deadline. And in the past, I guess it's really 8 days, right? The Mets they've called up a top prospect. They've made three trades. They've lost a player to suspension. They've had a trade that happened but then didn't happen, and including some on-field crying drama. And they had a crazy, crazy game that they ended up losing yesterday, all in the span of 8 days. That's a year for a lot of teams. It really is amazing and emotionally draining. That's so exhausted is the right word. So a bunch of things to talk about, but I guess we should go backwards, Mike, and start with what happened today at the trade deadline. And when we say at the trade deadline, we're being pretty literal. There were rumors all day long about potential Met trades. You woke up this morning to reports that the Mets had been working overnight in discussions with the Cincinnati Reds to try to acquire Jay Bruce for Zach Wheeler, was the rumor when you woke up this morning. But you got to around lunchtime, you heard that was losing momentum. And then it was, you know, between 3:30, you were starting to hear maybe the Mets are not as optimistic that they can make a move. They're getting desperate. You were getting that feeling. You were really starting to set yourself up for that press conference that we expected with Sandy to say he tried his best. It takes two to dance. Don't forget, we're going to get David Wright back and we're going to get Darno back and all this stuff to try to ease the pain of not making a move. And then at about, 2 minutes to four, word broke that the Mets actually acquired Yoenis Cespedes, who, I love Cespedes, Mike. I know you like him too. We've been liking him for a while, that we picked him up from the Detroit Tigers for two minor league pitchers, one of them being Michael Fulmer, who's having a great year in AA. I think Luis Sessa is the other one who's, I think, in A ball. And right now, if my memory serves me, I believe he's in St. Lucie, but I don't hold me to that. So two minor league pitchers for Cespedes. Big right-handed bat, a lot of power. He won the home run derby at Citi Field in 2013. In case you're going to say nobody can hit home runs at Citi Field, this guy can. We've been clamoring for a big bat, Mike. You got to be happy, rental or no rental, with the acquisition of Cespedes.
Yeah, and I'm not going to rain on Sandy's parade today, but. And I'm seeing some of this right now. Yes, it's technically a rental at in that his contract expires at the end. But that's where I would say this is a week where let's give him his due. Sandy Olson did his job. He did what it took to try to improve this roster quickly. I don't know how anybody could look at the current 25-man roster and not think that it's significantly better than one. 10 days ago. Big changes. It was, for the most part now, if you look, he was able to do all that without the owners having to commit significant money, and no money was really committed for 2016 by these owners. So Sandy did his part. Sooner or later, it's the only negative thing I'll say, these owners need to step up to the plate. And, if Cespedes comes through this year and his team were to do something special, make the postseason, whatever, and there's no law on the books that he can't be signed to a contract extension by the New York Mets.
No, that's a great point. And, Mike, I guess the financials, while it's not 100% clear whether any money changed hands in the Cespedes deal, it would appear if the Mets are paying full freight on Cespedes for the remainder of the year that their payroll may increase by about $4 or $5 million. based on his salary. It also, between the other transactions, which we'll touch on in a minute, that they made earlier in the week, they will have added, I think, from those transactions, somewhere in the neighborhood of between $4 and $5 million also. So if we say that perhaps they went up $8 to $10 million, they did save money on Mejia's suspension. He's not paid when he's suspended. And David Wright's insurance reported that they're getting back insurance money. The reports were that to date they had already recouped about $4 or so million on the Wright and Mejia situations. So look, maybe payroll goes up a little bit. I don't know if it would be fair to say that these transactions leave them payroll neutral, but it's definitely not taking on big money. Your point is well taken. Let's go backwards a little bit. I mean, Cespedes is the big move, the largest, the best player, the largest move that they've made, and he will have the biggest impact, you'd have to believe. However, the Mets did make a couple of other trades. They will continue to go backwards. They made a transaction, I guess, at this point. What was that trade, Mike? Was that trade on a Monday that they traded for Tyler Clippard? It was either Monday or Tuesday, right? They traded.
Clippard was Monday, shortly before our Monday show, yes.
Yeah, they traded for Tyler Clippard, trading to get him. That was a trade that at the time on our last show, we said we really liked that move that they made to pick him up. Again, a minor league pitcher. You know, there was actually some people who were complaining that the guy we gave up was a little bit too good, but I'm not going to complain about that. So at the time, we thought it was a great move. It helped strengthen our bullpen. We didn't know that a day later we would hear that Henry Mejia was suspended for the remainder of the season and also into next season. On the heels of that news, that Clippard transaction is huge. Although, again, I don't mean to be too negative. Clippard hasn't looked great since we got him. But still, he's definitely going to help. He'll be the setup man primarily, take the heat off of Parnell. You got to like it. He may even have a bigger role than that because Familia's had some struggles, and we'll probably touch on that later. So Clippard also now, especially in light of the Mejia situation and perhaps the Familia situation, also looks like a pretty big transaction for them. I know we talked about it Monday, but what's transpired in the last couple of days, Mike, you have to like that trade even better now.
Oh, I'd say that the Clippard deal went from a trade that was helpful to a trade that was mandatory. When you look at, and we won't even look, if Familia really starts to struggle greatly, I don't know if there's anything that's going to save us, so I'm going to go with we need Familia to bounce back, period. But Parnell, who knows? I mean, you know, he could just be, we just don't know what's going on with this bounce back to Tommy John. The velocity hasn't been there all along. He could really start to struggle, and that had to be considered all along. What nobody was really thinking was going to happen was another quick Mejia suspension, and he has looked pretty solid from when he had come back. Without Mejia, I don't know how they survive right now. I don't even know why they'd make the move they made today if they didn't make the Clippard move Monday. I think now the Clippard move went to like a mandatory move.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, not to be, like we said, we thought we would get this kind of reaction if the Mets didn't make a move, but I'm going to go there anyway. You could say we got some good news that Jerry Blevins was cleared to throw yesterday. And if you kind of do a little bit of math, you say maybe he'll be back in about 3 weeks, Mike. I don't know if you think that that's conservative or not. So your bullpen should get a shot in the arm in a few weeks, assuming that we can hang around and stay, you know, not lose ground that significantly in the next few weeks. Blevins could really be a boost to the bullpen as well. So that will help. And on our last show, we did talk about the transaction that took place first that kicked this off, which was picking up Juan Uribe and Kelly Johnson from the Braves. And now if you just take a step back and you look at it in total, you know, three transactions by Sandy Alderson getting Uribe, Johnson, Blevins, and Cespedes. We've been very critical on this podcast about Sandy's inaction. And in the past trade deadlines, he has done nothing. I don't think he's made one trade deadline trade since he's been GM of the Mets. Even his post, I know there was a trade, you and I talk about Kelly Shopik, which you laugh to consider that a major move. that's been one of his bigger late season moves since he's gotten here. When you contrast that to the moves that he's made this year, you have to feel good. And you know, let's forget the money thing. Let's not rain on the parade and say, well, they still haven't shown they could, you know, spend money. They've shown that they're in the race. They're three games out. The pitching's been phenomenal. And they decided, you know, he got active and he decided in his way, not taking on a ton of salary, to go for it. We've got to give him a lot of credit. And Met fans have to be really feeling good about where they stand at this point.
Well, you have to separate the ownership from the general manager. I mean, there's a lot of connection. We talk about, you know, there is connectivity, but they're not, it's not totally connected, meaning certain things the general manager can't do without support of ownership. That's just the way it is. And then there are certain things he can do, and we've discussed that, with what I'll call less ownership commitment. And that's sort of where I'm headed about this, which is, I think, Sandy, you got to give this guy credit. I joke a lot about Sandy because we know he's never been, you know, a ball of fire, and he's certainly not a ball of fire to listen to. But he was clearly in the office these last couple of weeks, right? And he must have even been burning the midnight oil. We were active. We transacted a lot. I think we'll find over time, as some of these guys we traded progressing their careers, he didn't, you know, he wasn't running around ripping off people. I think a lot of what I'll call fair deals got made. But that's good. That's baseball. You don't have to just wait around for the steal of the century. Fair deals that make sense for the situation you're in is good business. So no, I think Sandy had a really solid week, and it's I think we're gonna have to, you know, we gotta get to the deal that didn't happen in a second. And I will start that with a positive comment, which is of another deal, I'll go with another deal which didn't happen, which is Jay Bruce, which is I'd rather have Cespedes. So at least that deal didn't happen, and I'm better off with the one that did happen later today. I'd rather have the right-handed bat. I think we're just a little too lefty. With Duda and Granderson are, you know, a pop and being left-handed, I wanted a right-handed bat, which is why I was one of those people who was very excited, because we've also talked about Lagares, and maybe, you know, something's up with the arm. Should he be shut down? And Carlos Gomez just seemed like the perfect fit. And for a certain period of time the other night, I thought he was a New York Met.
Look, let's go back to that, because let's go from around 9 o'clock Wednesday night to, I guess, around 4 o'clock Thursday afternoon. Had to be the biggest drop in your emotions as a Met fan, from where you went high to where you dropped. So yes, I was with you. I said it on the air when we had our last podcast that just going through the rosters and who was going to be available, that Gomez seemed to be the guy to get. And you agree.
We named on Monday, right? Yeah, I mean, so this is a second guessing. We said on Monday, if there was one guy, that's the guy we wanted.
Right, and then there we were. We had him. I'm doing air quotes. I know you can't tell. And so news broke Wednesday night that we got him for Zach Wheeler and Wilmer Flores. I loved that trade. I know about the fact that Wilmer is young. I know about the fact that Wheeler could be an ace when he heals from Tommy John. But to go for it, Gomez was the perfect fit. He's not a rental. You'd have a 2-year window this year and next year to go for it with him. I was ecstatic. Then, of course, you know, the focus then shifted to Wilmer Flores stayed in the game, even though it was already all over the internet that he was traded. He started crying on the field. Now, you know, look, let's stop right there. Before we get to the rest of the drama, and there's plenty of additional drama. I mean, this is a trilogy. We can make, you know, the Lord of the Rings 3-3-hour movies out of the drama that you have here.
They've already started the pre-production on the 30 for 30.
They really should. They really should. So,
it's
so
coming. I mean, so the you know it's coming.
So look, let's dissect that just for a minute. That was the craziest thing, Mike. That just does not happen. You pull the guy, and I know, look, Terry Collins really was animated, you know, and it was classic television after the game, you know, that he didn't know. Nobody told him about a trade. I'm sorry, Mike. I don't care if anybody told him or not. Okay. How are you the manager of the team and you don't see that one of your players is on the field crying? Maybe what if it didn't have to do with a trade? What if his girlfriend broke up with him between innings? Something was going on with this guy and you're letting a guy stay on the field and cry? I'll even separate the how the hell does he not know about this rumor when everybody else knows. Let's fine. Maybe Terry's a little bit old. He's even older than we are. Maybe he doesn't know how to turn a cell phone on. But he had to know something was up, okay? You got to pull the guy from the game. That was embarrassing. If it would have stopped there and the Gomez trade would have gone through, we still would have had a stain on us because that doesn't happen. You never see that. Have you ever, Mike, seen another guy, team having a player cry on the field? They cry in the dugout when they're getting the hugs, but they don't cry on the field because you didn't take them out of the game. That's insane.
It was the funniest thing I ever saw. My phone was just, I mean, you don't know how many people were texting me. My phone was going off left and right. And I'm talking about people who are not really into the Mets. You know, they're casual. They know I'm a big Mets fan. And like people that I never get texts about the Mets. That's why my phone was blowing up. My phone was blowing up with people saying, how can they do this to this guy? What kind of team do you root for? And I'm like, oh, why are we doing this? You know, like, why, you know? But now at that time, though, that's the beauty of it. I'm thinking, like, this is crazy, and, like, it's getting in the way of it. But I got to remember, we're getting the guy I wanted. You know, like, so in the end, we're all going to forget about this tomorrow when Carlos Gomez is out in the field. And then after the game, what Collins is doing his, madman across the city field act, there's no trade. I'm inferring from that, it's not 100% done yet, like, whatever. You know, they haven't crossed all the T's and the I's. Then when Sandy comes on, it's done. I'm talking about it's never going to happen. Have you ever seen anything like it?
No, that was crazy. You know, he came out after the game to say it has not transpired and it will not transpire. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. You know, first it was the deal fell through because the Brewers didn't like Wheeler's medicals. And I went nuts at that because the guy had Tommy John. What did they think his medicals would look like? Then it was that the Mets didn't like Gomez's financials. I'm sorry. That was a Freudian slip.
Freudian, but you might be onto something.
Freudian slip. It was about the medicals that the Mets didn't like it. He had a bit of a hip issue. He had an MRI a couple weeks back that the Mets, I assume, reviewed and didn't like. And then, of course, being the Mets, the next thing you heard was, well, it was not medicals. It's the Mets balked at the money. Now, you and I have talked a lot about the financial situation, Mike. I have a feeling in this case, it's not purely money. I do believe it was money and medicals that they saw a little smudge on the MRI and they thought to themselves, okay, look, we're going to pay this guy $9 million next year. We're going to have Kadir on the roster next year at $12 million or whatever it is, something in that neighborhood, right, Mike? So you might have 20-ish million tied up in two guys, two outfielders who might have injury issues. And can the Mets sustain a roster with their financial limitations with two guys with injury problems in the outfield that they're committing that much money to? And they got scared. Now, they probably went back and asked the Brewers to kick in some money based on the smudge. The Brewers said no, and Sandy pulled the plug. Look, we've spoken many, many times about this. I am an advocate of the Mets spending money, but I can't totally kill them if it played out the way we just described. I get that. And they didn't want to take on that contract, even though it's not huge, if they saw something. Now, Mike, before I let you comment on that, I do have to throw in one little nugget that makes this that does make you think. It makes it even more interesting. today, Carlos Gomez ended up getting traded to Houston Astros. Okay, so the Houston Astros obviously were okay with the MRI and with the medicals. I just want to say one thing. Last year, the Houston Astros did not sign their number one pick in the draft, Brady Aiken, number one pick overall. They didn't sign him. They lost the top pick in the draft because they didn't like his medicals. That's the team that was fine with the MRI that we weren't. It has to make you a little bit nervous. You know, why were they okay with it when they seemed to be on that edge of being conservative with medicals and we weren't? I'm just going to leave it there and try to get your thoughts, Mike.
Well, my thoughts are, it is very odd because, right, Houston, who is known to have, you know, a pretty, it's like you said, rigorous standards, thought he was okay. Milwaukee seemed, if to the point of being perturbed, that it was even suggested that he wasn't okay. Right? I mean, they were pretty upset about the whole thing. And I hate to go there, but our ability to properly dodge those injuries is well documented in the negative. I mean, we've got a long and recent history of a mess of understanding the medical situation or communication of it. So, I mean, it's like, what the heck? I have no idea. I can give you my own conspiracy theories, and I do have some. I think something was rotten in Denmark there. Something was up. I think there might have been some disconnect. I keep thinking about numbers a certain way, that there was a disconnect, and it shows you how dysfunctional the whole situation is between Sandy and ownership. And maybe Sandy thought he could take that 2016 contract on, and when he went to get the final sign off, they said, "What?" And then it's covered. You know, it was covering themselves, right? Oh, we got it. We can't just say no now. Oh, don't worry, there's a smudge on the MRI. I don't know. But I can't give the owners the benefit of doubt because they don't allow me to. It was a weird week. But it is what it is. And I am Sandy rebounded and got a real quality bat today.
And just quickly, just to make a little bit of a transition onto the field, although in this case, we really don't want to. So the Gomez thing, you were on a high when you thought you had him. They turned out that you didn't have him, and then there was all this finger pointing about why. Then the Mets had a game yesterday that they went up 7-1, and I was there. I was at the game, and I was telling the person I was with that they needed this so bad to get that negativity away for a day. And then what happens? That not only do they blow a 7-1 lead, and that's bad enough, but two outs, top of the ninth, two outs, nobody on base, one strike on the batter, Familia, he needs two strikes to close it out with a two-run lead. There's a rain delay, 44 minutes, he comes back out. There's a little controversy about that, although I have no issue with it. So there he is. He just has to get two strikes. He gives up a bloop single, a 800 hopper through the infield, and a 3-run homer, and they end up losing the game. And, you know, talk about, again, we're saying you needed to get rid of the negativity. You somehow figured out how to add more negativity. And then the Nationals coming in this weekend, they fell three games behind because they lost that game. And it's at 358. They haven't made a trade. You know, things could have gone really bad if Sandy didn't turn around and make that move, because there was so much negativity. If they didn't make a trade, it would have been even more negativity. And then heading into this series, if somehow, you know, even if they lost two out of three and fell four games out and had, you know, all, you know, didn't make a move, the Gomez thing would be haunting them. It would have been disastrous. But you turn around now, look, they get the guy they need with Cespedes. They got these games coming up against the Nationals. They're at home. They got Harvey tonight, DeGrom tomorrow, Syndergaard Sunday. They don't face Max Scherzer. If they can take two out of three at home, which they really need to, Mike, two games out, you know, on August 3rd with Cespedes on the team and with potential reinforcements on the way, you got to feel pretty good, Mike.
Yes, and I'll give you a lot of positives here. I'm Sunshine Sam tonight, which is the, you know, all we had to talk about the nonsense with Gomez, because it's just, how can we not talk about it, you know, tonight? It was, because it was wild. But again, you get a bat anyhow today. I think if we think about the guys in the clubhouse, and we've discussed that before, you know, they're getting an impact bat. Nobody from their team, it's not like Wilma's going anywhere. They didn't lose anybody from their locker room. I mean, I guess somebody's going to get cut. But, you know, they didn't lose anybody significant from their locker room. They're getting an impact bat. The team's getting an impact bat. The loss yesterday was devastating. I'm sure everybody on that team was, like, devastated. But in a strange way, if you're going to have just a rip-your-heart-out loss, there might be no better day than the day before the trade deadline if your team is going to make a huge trade the next day.
That's a great point,
Mike. These guys are reporting for work tonight, and already I'm sure Terry gave him the speech, big series against the Nationals, got to forget about it. But, you know, the narrative, boom, flipped again. It's like yesterday's game, just like us as fans, who's thinking about yesterday's game right now? Everybody's just excited because we got to clean up it. You know, we didn't just get a guy. And the players have to feel some of that too, and it should help. I mean, the timing of the trade deadline was just right for us, because that game was going to happen whenever that game was going to happen, and it happened on the right day. We have, you know, we have our pitchers. You know, we got Matt Harvey today, right? We got DeGrom tomorrow. We got Syndergaard the day after that. We're all lined up and ready to go. And one last thought: I haven't seen anything official about it, but all I know is the Tigers were in Baltimore. I don't think it's inconceivable that we see him in the lineup tonight.
It's possible. I mean, I was just checking Twitter while we were on to see if there was any mention. Sandy hasn't spoken to the media yet. It's going to be close. You would figure, the jokes will come in that the Mets wouldn't pay to charter a plane, so they're going to get him in a seller ticket. I'm not sure how long it takes. Look, it's going to be close. Maybe he doesn't make it to the starting lineup, but it would be pretty cool to see him come in the third inning and, you know, pinch hit for and come in against Gio Gonzalez. They are going against a left-handed pitcher tonight, so it would be pretty cool. Let's see what happens. It'd be very interesting. So, but Mike, before we sign off, you know, we've got these three games against the Nationals. We've got this momentum by the trade, not because of what we're doing on the field. You know, there's positive vibes are on. We're home. We've got the three best pitchers we could want. We don't face Scherzer. Are they going to win two out of three at least this weekend? Putting you on the spot.
They're a good team, too. I think we'll have enough pitching to take two out of three this weekend.
And I hope you're right. And if we do, like I said earlier, Mike, two games out then on Monday, on August 3rd, you'd be two games out. You'd have this team good about. Met fans can't really ask for more than that. You would truly be in the race with the management that made the moves to get you where you wanted to be. And that's just that's a great feeling. And it's a contrast to the feeling that Met fans have been feeling in the past several years. So it should be a fun pennant race. And you have to feel good that the team has done everything they could to get us there.
Can I jam in one final word?
What'd you say, Mike? I didn't hear that.
Can I jam in one final word?
Yes, you can.
Again, it's only the non-waiver trade deadline. I think we could still use a reliever. There's ways to do that without spending a lot of money. I say we get a reliever during the waiver period.
I'm with you on that. I do think that with the Mejia gone, with Familia's struggles, with both of the Torres, who I know people call the Tori, which I think is great, being inconsistent and struggling. You know, first, I don't understand how you can't get a true lefty specialist, but I would take one, or I would take another seventh, eighth inning guy. I think it would really help. All right, so that just about wraps it up. The last thing I will say, though, Mike, on Sandy Alderson. Did you ever think you would hear me say those words, Mike?
Yeah, you know, live every day for itself.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to this special edition. We will talk to you again soon, and let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.